on WJTN Radio. Our good morning time is 9:23. The good morning temperature is 68 degrees, and the good morning became a better morning because Dennis Webster has some very special guests.
It's my pleasure to welcome to the studio our return guest, Jane Johnson, from the Roger Torrey Peterson Institute, who frequently drops by to tell us about the things that are happening there. And with her today is artist Thomas Paquette of Warren, Pennsylvania. Mr. Paquette, welcome to our station.
Thank you very much.
And Jane, always great to have you back.
Thomas, welcome to Jamestown. It's a pleasure to have your book in front of me with your beautiful paintings, and they're called Gouches. I'm frankly going to act ignorant at this point, Mr. Paquette, because I've never been familiar with that word up until now.
Well, the way you pronounce it, I'm not familiar with it either. But it's called gouache.
And gouache.
It's an opaque watercolor. Yeah, you can call it that now.
Gouache. Okay. That's why I use the word ignorant. Well, your paintings are on display right at this very moment at the Roger Torrey Peterson Institute.
Yes, they are. I think I have about 45 paintings, 35 gouaches.
47.
Okay.
Yes.
Jane hung every one of them. That's how she knows. Yeah.
Well, we're delighted that we have an opportunity to get a firsthand here of how this career started. When did you put your brush to the paper?
I guess we all do when we're little children, and nobody ever told me to stop. Mm-hmm. So I've been doing it ever since I was a child. But when I went to college, my focus was, well, in high school, actually, I always thought I'd be an artist. And then I went to college and found out that art is, well, I was reading Vincent van Gogh's letters. And, you know what happened to Vincent van Gogh. And I thought, this sounds like me. So I thought I'd better quit. And I did quit for a little bit, but then I got back to it. So I had a little break of a couple of years where I actually was studying to be a naturalist. So that brings me full circle back to Roger Torrey Peterson Institute and what a joy it is to be showing at such a place.
Now, our listeners cannot see the beautiful books nor the postcard that Jane so nicely gave to Jim and me just before we went on the air showing your work. So for their benefit, Mr. Paquette, what is gouache and how did you discover it?
I'm used to painting with opaque paints, which means just like a house paint. I mean, you can paint over and over the color. If you don't like the color, you can, paint over it. With watercolor, the options get really limited. It only goes from light to darker because as the colors go over each other, they are transparent. So if you put down red and then a blue, you'll wind up with purple. With gouache, I found it was much more what I was used to working with, which is oil paints, and I could go over the color. I could go over red with blue, and it would still be blue. So that's why what brought me to that. And it's much quicker than oil painting in terms of drying time.
This is a book that you have titled simply Gouaches is beautifully done and organized. Are we looking at this book at the actual sizes of the pictures that you have painted?
Yes, probably 95% of them are full size. There's a couple that wouldn't fit in the format exactly. It had to be reduced just a little. But
so these are 1.5 by 3 inches, 2 by 3, smaller than postcards or 3 by 5 cards in most instances, just so that the listeners can get some idea as to the very small canvas upon which you work.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't drive you crazy to paint on such a small surface.
I already was crazy. Oh, okay.
Well, is this common among artists, or are you just the unique one in that world?
Oh, there are other people who've worked small. I just found that I was doing so many of these for years, and I didn't really exhibit them very much. I don't like to sell them, which is kind of an odd thing, I guess, but I found that I could save these for myself. As an artist, we don't do things just for money, and so I found these were special to me, and whether this is unique to me, I would have to say no, but I'm kind of at a loss for examples of other people that work so small, really.
I will say one thing to you that I said to Jane and Jim when we first started talking about your exhibit some weeks back, and Jane made a visit here. In a world in which everything is so large, so loud, and so, in many ways, artistically overdone, to have a small picture in front of you almost demands that you train the eye on the detail in the picture and see what you have really painted.
You know, that's a really good point. People do find themselves really drawn into these, and I've heard people talk about them as being very large in a sense, which I think that's a great compliment, because that means that it's taking their attention, it's grabbing their attention, but it is something that I really like to delve into.
Well, in the same way that we would strain to hear and cup the ear to for a faint sound, because we desperately want to understand what's being communicated to
us.
Yeah,
maybe. It's a whisper, right?
Yeah, in the same way visually I am drawn into this, in exactly the way that I thought I would when we were just describing them and didn't have the works in front of us, because of the intense detail and the relative small margins of it all.
Mm-hmm. I have to ask Jane Johnson, it's been on display since May 22nd. Mm-hmm. What reaction have you noticed in that time frame up till now?
Quite a great reaction, actually, yeah. We've had people coming through that are familiar with Tom's work, and many that have never seen anything like these paintings. I mean, they're and our staff alone has really enjoyed them so far as well. And I have to say, being out, for instance, in Bemis Point, I just spoke to someone the other day who was very, very familiar with Tom and his work, and they were pretty excited to see that they were at the Roger Troy Peterson Institute.
And just to highlight this, there's a special event Saturday. I don't know if we've given this adequate mm-hmm. emphasis at the moment, which really is the reason for your visit here today.
Right. So Saturday is the actual opening reception for Tom's exhibit at Roger Troy Peterson Institute. It will be from 6:30 to 9 p.m. Saturday evening. We're going to be having live music, some hors d'oeuvres, wine. Johnson Estate Wineries is actually going to be doing some wine tasting there that evening as well. So it's going to be a great time. And we hope that, you know, as many people will come that we can accommodate to see Tom's work. And, you know, we also have his books, which is really great. And I think Tom will be doing some book signing. And we're going to be having a gallery talk as well starting at 7 o'clock.
And all this is free for RTPI members, and only $5 for members of the general public.
That's right, yes.
It's interesting to note, Tom, that your paintings have been displayed in the embassies in St. Petersburg, Athens, Rome, Vienna, Santiago, and Taipei.
They have been around the world a little more than I have been. That's a program that it uses art as an ambassador, basically. These artworks are collected from around the United States, and the ambassador usually picks them out, along with curators that work in D.C., and they put together shows, and it's a great thing to have artwork around the world like that for all the artists really involved.
You're inspired by what you see. I mean, you're obviously a great observer of our natural world. When you're driving your car...
You don't want to be behind me when I'm in front of you looking at nature.
That's what I'm trying to point out. Do you make a sudden stop, Thomas Paquette, because you've seen a beautiful, you've seen a possibility?
Yes, I do. And I should have a warning, you know, whatever those warning signs are on the back of vehicles, you know, please give 50 feet or 100 feet or something. I don't know, but... yes, I do, and I, you know, I'll often turn around and go back, and sometimes I don't even know it was what I had seen. I mean, I go back to see what caught my eye, and sometimes I'm just drawn to things I don't know why, and oftentimes I'll end up painting that, and sometimes I'll just avoid getting a ticket. I don't know. It can be dangerous out there.
How does our area for beauty compare to many other places you've been?
Oh, it's a very rich area. I moved here from Maine. I had lived in Maine for 10 years, which a lot of artists gravitate to that paint landscapes because it's such a, you know, there's the ocean, there are the mountains. It's very beautiful. But I moved here from there after I'd come out to visit several times and just realized I just kept seeing paintings everywhere. Very impressive to me.
You know, we should mention, too, that part of the show at RTPI consists of seven or eight.
I'm not sure how many.
Yeah. Yeah, we've lost track. Original pieces that Tom has worked on over the last year, and they're scenes from our grounds throughout different seasons. So it's pretty interesting to see that they're beautiful. And In addition, you know, each piece in the show was selected because of trees. They all depict some sort of tree, some species of trees, in a different setting around the world, really, because there are pieces from Greece as well as areas around here.
Right. The name of the show is Seeing the Trees, and I was putting together this show, I was noticing that people think of me in association with trees and clouds and things like that, natural phenomena, but the trees kept coming up as something that really seemed appropriate for a showing at the Roger Torrey Peterson Institute, and I kept focusing on the idea that trees are so important in our lives, and not only that, but we respond to them aesthetically, and they're just so much a part of our lives. I thought, it's almost like the air we breathe, that we hardly notice them. And so there's that old saying about can't see the forest for the trees. Well, this kind of turns it on its head, and I'm thinking, I really want to see those trees, because so often we're focused on the big picture. Oh, I need to do this. I need to, you know, my schedule is such, and our lives are always surrounded by things that we just don't notice. So let's notice those things, I was thinking.
I would like to have you comment on one other aspect of your work. And you talked a couple of minutes ago, Thomas Paquette, about the fact that you paint because you want to, and you see these scenes that sort of impel you or compel you to paint them. And that you don't do everything that you do just for money. But there are a lot of people out there who would like to be artists in the same mode as you, have a strong desire, whether it's with a camera or with a paintbrush or some other tool, to do exactly as you do. In today's world, today's economy, how do you do it?
I think you just have to do it. I mean, there are people who have jobs and they find themselves painting in the evening or composing music or whatever, but you know, again, the thing isn't necessarily to make a livelihood out of it. I just figured that the best way to find the most time to paint is to do it as a livelihood. And so I've always focused on finding opportunities to promote that as a part of my life. I've tried to avoid things that would keep me away from that. So, for instance, I didn't move to New York City, which would have, I could have had a great career waiting tables, I guess. But I had to forego that to become an artist.
How many stories have you heard about artists in between their works are waiting on tables?
Too many.
Yes.
When I was in graduate school, we had a house filled with artists. It was probably like five graduate art painters, and there was one economist.
Who cleaned up? That's what I want to know.
And none of them. It was pretty bad. But there was an economist who was working on his degree, his MBA, actually a business administration person, but he kept looking around and he kept saying, the world needs more waiters. And that, I mean, he kept saying that to us. I thought, you know what? I'm not going to make that happen. The world does need good waiters, but I don't think I would be the best, that's for sure.
What's the latest trip you've taken to some location and sat down and did your work?
My wife and I went out to Cornwall in England, and we were walking along the coast there about a month and a half ago. Beautiful area.
I must say that one of the works that really stands out to me, I'm thumbing through your book here, called Gouaches, Thomas Paquette. Approaching Dusk 2004 is a small picture, as they all are, small rectangular picture of a road that I bet everyone who looks at it knows that they've been on at some point, though I cannot tell you where it is. And it is delightful in the sense that it is fully monochromatic. I mean, that you have painted this entirely in shades of gray to black, with just a little bit of white at some small points in the picture. And it's very effective. It's small, it's one color, and it's very moving.
Thank you.
Let me ask this question, Tom Paquette. I don't think it'll come as a surprise to you, but what artist more or less gave you inspiration to do that sort of thing? What painting?
Oh,
what
my gosh.
What just suddenly said, I love what he did, and I'd like to do the same?
Every time I walk into a museum, I get that feeling from so many artists. And what surprises me, this is probably more surprising than me not coming up with a direct answer because there are so many artists, but is the fact that when I go back and see paintings that I've been inspired by, they've changed somehow. And, you know, I might find something new in them, or I might find a painter or a painting that I had completely overlooked before, and find that more inspiring. So I think it's more of a fluid thing than a particular thing.
Why do I keep asking myself, when I see a Picasso, I keep asking every time, What's it all about?
Maybe that's what he was asking, too.
Exactly.
And I think in a good way, because I think it's an exploration of things. I was thinking about composing music and kind of an analogy for the way that we work as artists and how, let's say, a composer doesn't necessarily go out of his way or her way to make something, you know, waking up in the morning saying, I'm going to make beautiful music. I'm not sure they do that. I think, like myself, they look at the world and say, there's something really amazing out there, and I'm going to see what I can do with these amazing perceptions that we have as human beings. And you know, then beauty becomes a byproduct of this exploration. And that's, I think, what Picasso was more after than trying to make us figure out exactly what it is that we're looking at or any other things. It's more of an exploration, I believe.
Do you paint every day?
I'd like to. I find myself doing radio interviews and other things. I do. That's my job. So I try to focus on that, but it isn't every day that I can get in the studio.
What's the longest interval of time that you've not put a brush to work for you?
Eternity. Mm. It can feel like a really long time. Sometimes things get in the way. A year and a half ago, I built a new studio and found myself with all my artworks and everything crammed into my office in my home, and it was difficult. So I don't know how much work I had gotten done then, but that was a process. And talk about going crazy.
How did your residence in Warren come about?
I met a woman from Warren, and that's probably the short answer. We met up in Buffalo at the Albright Knox Art Museum and had a long-distance relationship, and then I moved out here when we got married, basically. What's funny, getting back to the question about the beauty of the landscape around here, we were always talking about moving, you know, where do we want to move? She thought she might move to Maine, and the more I visited out here, the more I became convinced I really want to live here. Mm-hmm. So she never thought I would move here, but I really like it. Here we are.
And she does, too.
She does, too.
Right. Is she an artist, by the way?
She does a lot of different art forms. She does have a degree in art, but she also does work at the Struthers Library Theater, and mm-hmm. She's in a play coming up, actually, a musical, The Secret Garden, and she plays harp, she sings, I mean, she's music, I mean, she just has every other art form down.
The reception, gallery talk, etc. is this Saturday. How long will Mr. Paquette's works be on display at your gallery, Jane?
Through July 11th.
Well, you know, Tom Paquette, we all, when you have such a unique talent, and we know how many others are out there from history and so forth, if you were to possess three paintings that you would treasure forever in your life, what would they be?
Wow. Oh, that, you know, that's a stumper. That's kind of, and I don't want to diminish this at all, but it's a little like asking what my favorite color is. I love them all, but there are so many. And I, you know, I could probably come up with a list of about 20 of my favorite painters, but Bonnard and Monet are really kind of amazing painters for kind of to key into the kinds of things that I appreciate, but wow, I draw inspiration from things that are really not like my work at all, too. And it's all about human endeavor and the beauty of seeing and, you know, all that. So I'm and paint, and I'll get back to you on that.
Well, no, you know, do you study do you try to read the biographies of these artists?
Absolutely. I have shelves and shelves full of monographs on all these artists. Sometimes I just discover them, and if I can find a book, which is kind of rare to be able to find a book for a more obscure painter, but I buy it, and it's on my shelf, and I love looking at paintings, and it's a great thing to be able to go to museums. I encourage people to not only see my show, but to go out to Buffalo and New York City and wherever they can go to see artwork, because it's very different from what you might see on the internet or even in a book.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dennis Webster, what a wonderful moment we've had here on the broadcast this morning.
Jane, thank you very much.
Yes, thank you. It was great to be here.
Gallery Talk, 7 o'clock on Saturday night. The artist reception and the book signing runs from 6:30 to 9 with our guest, Thomas Paquette, at the Roger Torrey Peterson Institute, 311 Curtis Street in Jamestown. Jane, Mr. Paquette, have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you, Dennis. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you. And we'll be back.